as I mentioned, and it's Lieutenant General Sykes, who spent virtually his entire military career commanding airborne troops. He came to Tekoa as and was put to work as the S3 of the 3rd Battalion, or maybe possibly the 2nd Battalion. In any event, Lew Walsh recognized this young captain right away and gave him, as a captain, the command of the 2nd Battalion. He got a couple of promotions before the war was over, stayed in the Army, although his father had a good Kansas dairy that he could have inherited. He stayed with the Army, stayed with troops his entire career, except he confessed to me the other day, he did spend 3 horrible years in the Pentagon. So, recently, since that you're no guest. We welcome you and look forward to what you have to say.
Thank you very much, Howard, for those kind remarks. And you were more than generous. But I appreciate one thing. You kept saying Dick rather than this damn thing and listen to the program. Our guests from Belgium and France, and men of the 517, and families and friends. It's with a great deal of pride and respect that I join you on this occasion. Pride in being a member of this great combat team, and respect for each and every member of the combat team and your family. I'm deeply conscious of the honor which is mine in having been invited by Howard to speak on this occasion, but frankly I'm overwhelmed at the thought of finding adequate words to fill the occasion. Because your role is very important. You are the guardians of the legacy of this great combat team. What I'd like to do, first I want to remind the men of the 517, how good you are. And you are damn good. And secondly, I'd like to, for the families and the friends to recap what the 517 is and what these great men of the 517 did. I've been around the airborne, as you all know, a lot. But for 60 years, I've been saying that the men of the 517 are the finest that ever pulled on a pair of jump boots. You are the cream of our nation. You've heard me say this. The cream of our nation. Strong, hardy, full of vigor, courage, and sometimes mischievous. And you come from the cities, the towns, and the farms throughout our great country. And you came together in 1943, together with your cadres from the 506 and other units, to form the 517th Parachute Infantry, the 460th Field Artillery Battalion, and C Company, the 139th Engineers, which later on became the 596. You came together and formed not only great units, but units that had a unique situation. They were unique in the way they selected the people, unique in training, and unique in operation. Most of you, but not all of you, went direct from the induction center to Tekoa. And the very first day you arrived at Tekoa, you were challenged physically and mentally by Boom Boom Aliki. You all know Boom Boom. You met that challenge. And then you were interviewed. And you know that most of those who arrived at Tekoa with you did not make the cut. Tom Cross and I interviewed over 3,000 people to get 780. Gives you an idea. And Tom said, "Dick, we're not looking for brawn. We're looking for heart, spirit, and tenacity. And you men have it." After you were selected, then it was into basic training conducted by the academy. And the basic training was tough. Every morning a run before breakfast, and then to run up and down Prairie Heath. And then at the end of the day, to top it off, the 5-mile speed march with full field equipment. And it was demanding. Not only did you qualify with your own individual weapon, but you fired and became familiar with every weapon in your unit. At the end of about 14 weeks, as I recall, you got your first pair of jump boots. Then it was off to Fort Benning for parachute qualification. And that course was tough. But because of your physical fitness and your spirit, for most of you it was a piece of cake, a challenge to those instructors. Everybody that went to Benning, to my knowledge, finished a first Benning. And each of you jumped with the steel pot, the first of any class. With the 5 jumps on your belt and the wings on your chest, proudly on your chest, it was back to McCall for lots of unit training, parachute jumping, culminating in a mass parachute jump, you remember in January of 44, I guess it was, in the Southern Pines area. The thing I remember about that jump was it was nice and warm when you jumped, but within 5 or 6 hours it was a cold rain, sleet, and snow, and you carried on in good order. And then in, I think, February, it was off to Tennessee for maneuvers with the 17th Airborne Division. Tennessee was cold, rainy, and muddy. And I remember that night when we made the forced march all night in the rain, the muddy road, with that mosquito net on our head. We were practicing malaria control. It was during the Tennessee maneuvers that the 517 combat team was pulled out to take part in the invasion of southern France. It was back to McCall to get ready for overseas. And back at McCall, I recall that the Army gave us a physical fitness test, including the 20-mile forced march. Every unit in the 517th combat team did better than any other unit in the Army. Then on the 17th of May, we sailed. 517th aboard the Santa Rosa, the 460th and 596th aboard the Cristobal. Now, Mike Claus had mentioned on the Santa Rosa there were 200 blacks. That's for you to discuss. We arrived in Naples without incident on the 31st of May, I think. Moved to the place called the Crater, and there got together our equipment. On the 14th of June, we moved to a beach down near Naples and boarded LSTs and LCIs, landing craft tank, landing craft infantry, I guess, and sailed up the western coast of Italy to Anzio. We paused briefly in Anzio, and we were told that we weren't needed there. The Fifth Army had moved beyond Rome. We were told to continue moving north and to land at Civitavecchia. Civitavecchia, I think, sometimes is called the port of Rome. It's about 80 miles from Rome. We landed without opposition from the Germans, and we were attached to the 36th Infantry Division, the Texas National Guard. We conducted combat operations, or you all conducted combat operations, north of Grisetto for about 2 or 3 weeks. You did well, learned a lot of lessons. We had some casualties in that period. about 129 or 30, and 17 of them killed in action. After those operations north of Percepto, we were moved to a bivouac area near Frascati. Frascati is about 8 or 9 miles south of Rome. There we became attached to the 1st Airborne Task Force. The 1st Airborne Task Force was commanded by a General Frederick. In addition to 517th, I think the task force had, it was about 9,000 men, had the 509th Parachute Battalion, the 551st Parachute Battalion, the 550th Glider Battalion, the a British Brigade, and elements of the 1st Special Service Force. On the 14th, or the mission of the task force, was to conduct glider and parachute operations in southern France and prevent the movement of German troops to interfere with the seaborne landing. The enemy situation was estimated to be one German corps of about 30,000 Krauts, Germans. On the 14th of August, combat team moved to 4 different departure areas in Italy, and shortly after midnight on the 15th, 180 C-47s lifted the combat off en route for southern France. If you all jumped at about 4:30 in the morning, and due to the ground fog, as you all recall, and some lousy navigation, poor navigation, our combat team was spread over a period of, over a distance of about 40 miles. 40 miles. The enemy resistance was moderate, except at Trezart, Lavoie, as I recall. Otherwise, it was moderate. The work was intense, it was intense. Despite the wide dispersion of the combat team, by the end of D plus one, the combat team had accomplished all its missions and had made contact with the seaborne forces. About this time we started, I want to digress here a bit, about this time we began to receive some replacements or new men. And fortunately they were darn good troops, airborne qualified. Some people as Fritz from the Mortar Platoon, Kaufman, Rich Kaufman, he's out here. Ben Barrett over here, one of those fine replacements. Jepko, where's Jepko? He's around here someplace. And also Johns from D Company. They're typical of the fine men that joined us. And I was always impressed how they molded right in to our combat team and performed brilliantly with us. Anyhow, after the D plus one, the combat team then, for the next 300 days, conducted combat and battle actions in the Bulge, Belgium, parts of Germany. Many of those combat operations were critical to the success of the American offensive against the Germans. Many of those operations you remember much better than I do. Trezart, Mannheim, Soy, Montfort, Trois Points, Ockerhart Woods, Hunnings, Southwest, Schmidt, many more. These battle operations were critical. Your operation, the job you did, was critical to the success. In these battles, in Germany, Belgium, France, and Italy, you men of the 517 wrote magnificent pages in the history of this great combat team. And each and every one of you can be damn proud of the 517th, and you can be damn proud of your contribution. As in most battles, most wars, our combat team lost many comrades. 229 of our comrades gave their lives for their country. 229 young men, full of youthful potential, a potential they would never realize. These great men, and each and every one of you, left us a legacy of courage, a legacy of spirit, a legacy of loyalty and dedication. It is our duty to preserve that legacy, to improve upon it if possible, pass it on to the next generation. You were the cream of the nation, airborne all the way.